Welcome to the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast series. Our show is brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app, which allows innkeepers to provide guests with their recommendations of the best local places to eat, play, and shop during their stay. The Frictionless Guest app is accessible through all mobile and desktop devices, and you can learn more about it by visiting frictionlessguest.com. That's frictionlessguest.com. I'm Matt Langan, and I'll be joined by Steve Short, the founder and CEO of the Frictionless Guest app. And our guest for this episode is Wendy Collins, who is the innkeeper for the Mission Inn, which is based in Cape May, New Jersey. Wendy will be sharing her innkeeper story and her high-tech, high-touch approach to pleasing guests and much more. And Wendy and Steve, how are you both doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Great. Steve, how are you doing?
I'm a little under the weather, but I'm hanging in there. So I'm doing well enough.
Well, good. Well, thanks for joining, Steve, especially if you're a little bit under the weather today. And Wendy, let's kick it off from the top. If you don't mind, tell us a bit about your background and how you and Laura came to become innkeepers.
Well, sure. Like many people that find themselves in this industry, we sort of took a roundabout path after about 30 years in corporate America on my end and about the same amount of time in academia for Laura. We were finding ourselves at a crossroads in our career and both looking 50 square in the eye and decided that it was time for a change, time to do something completely different than sitting in front of a desk all day. I mean, in my case, completely different than a 5-hour round trip commute in and out of Manhattan every day. So we started looking at options and kind of fell into the idea of innkeeping and owning a bed and breakfast. And then after we fell into it, we fell in love with it and sort of came to it with a fresh perspective and a lot of experience in our former lives that has really kind of helped us to differentiate ourselves in an industry that's, you know, kind of coming into the 21st century, but we already lived there and lived in that technology world. So I'm excited to kind of talk about how we've brought some of that of our old lives into this new career choice.
That's great. You know, before we talk about kind of the transition and how you bring your expertise into the innkeeping world, tell us a bit about the Mission Inn, how you found the inn and all that good stuff.
So we jokingly say we found it by the grace of God. We were actually, I was working, like I said, in Manhattan, and we were looking down in the Florida Keys area because we were enamored with sunshine about this time of year. It was when we started looking, so you can imagine the allure of the Southern Hemisphere and the Florida Keys. So we started our search down there. We looked at a few properties and, you know, really liked a lot of them, but we kind of ran into problems where some of the properties that we were looking at didn't really have the financial information or the financial history to support the purchase. So we sort of had our business people lens on and kind of walked away from those. And then we sort of put it on the shelf for about 6 months and went back to our regular lives. And the idea kept kind of nagging at us. And one day just hopped on the computer and started looking at other options that were a little bit closer to home instead of kind of picking up and heading down to Florida where we had no roots and no family. It was a great serendipitous moment where I started looking online and stumbled upon the Mission Inn, which is located in Cape May, New Jersey, at the southernmost tip of New Jersey. So it's kind of like the South in that regard, but it's definitely a lot closer to what we knew as home, which was the New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York area. Long story short, we worked with a broker. We found three properties to look at in Cape May that were for sale. And for those of people that don't know, Cape May is a little bit of a B&B hotbed. At one time in its history, about 20 years ago, there were over 60 bed and breakfasts here in Cape May. And over the years, a lot of those have converted back over to whole house rentals or private ownership. So now we're hovering about 30 B&Bs. So it's still quite a big footprint of bed and breakfast. So anyway, we found three that were for sale. This was our first stop, the Mission Inn. We literally pulled up in front of it and were completely enamored. It's a Spanish Mission style property, very different than the Victorian properties all around Cape May. Fell in love with it so much so that before we even walked inside or met the former owners, we called the broker and literally canceled the other two appointments. We knew that if there was any way it was going to work, it was going to be here.
Oh, that's great. What a great story about how your instincts told you that this was the right place. And speaking of instincts, you've certainly honed your instincts in the technology world in advance of becoming an innkeeper. And tell us about your technology focus, both for guests and technologies that you use as innkeepers.
Yeah, it's interesting because we sort of were trying to get away from our former lives, and yet it followed us, and that was kind of a good thing, but it wasn't a planned thing. We sort of, after we stumbled into innkeeping, we sort of quickly realized that there was an opportunity to apply things that we had used or were familiar with in our former lives. So looking at that from the guest experience standpoint, we immediately kind of set up a lot of different systems and things with the inn that allowed us to really effectively and efficiently communicate with guests. For example, we do pre-arrival for our guests. We reach out via email and check in with them and ask if there's anything we can help with. You know, that's not unusual with the innkeepers, but we've been able to kind of automate that and point our guests via technology to some of our favorite things. And that's really what got us looking at the Frictionless app, is a way that we could integrate our favorite things into that guest outreach before they even got here. But that's just one very simple way on the front end. On the back end, we also use technology to communicate with our guests after they leave. Again, very, very simple email, but it allows us another touch point to kind of check in with them personally, but efficiently, and ask if there was anything that they'd like to let us know about their stay, but also encourage them to leave reviews on the different review sites that we partner with. So very, again, email is kind of entry-level technology, but we've also done a lot on the innkeeper side as well, and introducing different technologies to help make our lives more efficient and give us a quality of life that we were really looking for when we went down this path. So some of those things, for example, when we took over the inn, the former owners were using an online booking software, which was great. Believe it or not, there's still a few folks here in Cape May that do pencil and paper for their reservations. So the former owners definitely were in the right direction, but it was still a desktop application that they were using, which really tethered them to the kitchen, if you will, in terms of sitting in front of a computer and being able to deal with reservations. So one of our first kind of jumps in technology for the inn was to get that all up in the cloud and transfer to a reservation system that really allowed us to handle it anywhere, anytime from our phones, and not be tethered to a computer that sits in the kitchen. So those are just a couple examples of kind of where we started when we took over the inn, to kind of sprinkle in some technology.
Great. Steve, I know you have questions and thoughts on this topic, right?
Always. Yeah. So Wendy, what about, I think you leverage social media quite a bit, not that others don't, but talk about that a little bit, if you would, how you leverage social media and utilize that to kind of stay in touch and bring in new potential guests.
Yeah, absolutely. So we immediately, again, kind of right after getting out of the gate, we quickly set up both a Facebook account and an Instagram account. And I think a lot of innkeepers have Facebook accounts, but very few have tapped into Instagram as another social media avenue. And what we found, we were really pleasantly surprised, because the demographic for this inn and for many bed and breakfasts tends to skew a little bit older. But we found that through using social media, and particularly Instagram, we were immediately able to connect with a slightly younger demographic and get them kind of into the mix of our customers, or potential customers at least. So with Facebook, again, people are pretty familiar with that by now. It's kind of a quote unquote older social media, but it's really been good for us, for everything from just kind of keeping people in the know with what's going on at the inn, to posting when we have a last minute cancellation that allows us to immediately reach out to, I think we have about 2,000 followers on Facebook, and it immediately lets us reach out to those loyal customers and loyal guests and say, hey, anybody up for a getaway this weekend? We have a room that suddenly became available. So it's been a really nice kind of last minute notification tool that we couldn't really do any other way efficiently. We could send emails, of course, but that doesn't have the something like Facebook does, where somebody can simply share that to their wall and all of a sudden it's exponentially seen by all of their friends. So Facebook's been very valuable in that regard. Instagram, on the other hand, we have found is, like I said before, sort of skews a little bit younger and very, very visual medium. And we've been able to post a lot of not only pictures of the inn, but of things that go on around town, and kind of use that as a way to keep people connected with Cape May, and through that connected to the Mission Inn. So sort of positioning ourselves as ambassadors to the town, kind of in a less marketing way, but more in, you know, just a way of keeping the Mission Inn kind of front and center, anybody just following Cape May or following what's going on in this beautiful town. So those two social media avenues have been very, very helpful in kind of different ways.
Excellent. All right. And actually, the numbers you have in a prior call that we had, didn't you say that I think you've got something like 5,000 followers? Maybe that's overblown. A couple thousand. It's in the thousands, right?
Yeah, low thousands. And on Instagram, we're still growing that following. I think we're just under 1,000. The number that you might be thinking of is our newsletter distribution list. We've got a database. Okay. Yeah, we've got a database of about 5,000 email addresses. And like I said at the beginning of this podcast, you know, people think of email as kind of low tech at this point, but it really is kind of low hanging fruit. The number one app on everybody's phone is email. That's the number one used app today. People check their email on their phone. And so it is a way to reach people. And we use our email list to send out monthly newsletters. And we do it. We don't spam people with a lot of different offers and, you know, sales and things like that. What we do is we kind of bundle it into a monthly newsletter where we really showcase things, again, that are going on around the inn. We showcase things that are going on around town. We make it personal with things that we're doing and that we're enjoying. And then we'll also throw in, if we are having any sort of specials or discounts or incentives, they'll go into the newsletter. So our guests look forward to them. They've told us that they're, you know, they're interesting, they're filled with information, not just, you know, discounts and sales. And our open rates as a result of that hover around 40 to 45%. For those monthly newsletters, which I think the industry standard right now is under 10% for number of people that actually open emails like that. So we've got a great loyal base, and the easiest way that we've been able to reach them besides social media are those monthly newsletters.
Excellent. So now you've talked about the more techie side of things. Talk about the other side, since your motto is kind of high tech, high touch. Talk about how you are able to balance the tech with the interaction, the personal interaction, and anything else with your guests.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, technology in and of itself is wonderful, but there's a certain expectation when people show up at a bed and breakfast or an inn that they're going to have that personal interaction experience as well. And we're very tuned into that. And things that we do in our technology kind of are done with a lot of thought to kind of drive also the personal experience. So for example, we do, I mentioned this in our pre-call, but we do monthly house concerts here at the Inn, which has been a wonderful addition of music in our off season. So from October through April, once a month, we pick a Saturday and we invite singer-songwriter to come in and set up here at the Inn. And we've got the blessing of great common space and room to do this, but we also just love good live music. So we invite a singer-songwriter, you know, from the region, not just from inside Cape May, but we've had from New York and Washington, D.C. and Baltimore and Philadelphia. We invite them in, and we also then invite the community in, not just our guests, to enjoy a wonderful live performance. And this is something that we make a lot with social media in terms of we use that to get the word out. We use it to share pictures of the actual event, but the experience in and of itself is what people remember. So, you know, everything is sort of crafted around showcasing the inn in around the music and what we're doing that's very unique in that area. And then when people come to the inn and experience that firsthand, we encourage them to post about it and to react to it and to share their pictures. So it kind of goes full circle where we're using social media to promote these unique experiences. Then we make sure that people, when they come, have a great time. Not only is the music good, but our chef prepares desserts that we serve at the intermission. So people have great food. They have a great memory of the music that they've heard, the experience, the other people that they've met while they're here. And then we see them posting on social media about the event. So somebody might say, well, what the heck does that have to do with a bed and breakfast? That's a good question. We started these musical events because we, quite frankly, just love live music. And the winters in Cape May are not the same as the summers in terms of the number of people that are visiting. So it was a great opportunity to kind of make use of the space that we had, bring people together during the off season. But the kind of cool side effect has been great sort of grassroots PR with people sharing information and sharing these concerts and sharing their experience here. And then what we've seen is kind of a ripple effect that we've gotten people calling us for reservations, not just because they themselves came to the show, but because somebody talked about it to a friend, you know, typical word of mouth, talked about it to a friend or saw it on their social media, and they want to come check out the inn next time that they're in Cape May. So I like that example because it really touches on both using the technology in a couple of ways and also making sure that we back it up with the actual experience that we're having.
It's an awesome idea. I love the music idea. It's so cool. And to be able to support the music side of things and have people come in and have a good time and at the same time get the fringe benefits of them learning about the inn seems like a great way to go. So very cool.
Yeah, so it's a little guerrilla marketing. But really, I would encourage anybody who's interested in kind of modeling that to find their own passion. And, you know, you could do the similar thing with a cooking event, or you could, you know, do it with poetry readings. I mean, it's endless. As long as you have an audience that will respond to it, you know, you can kind of start to brand your own type of events at whatever your inn or your property is. And it's really just about being known in the community and also known to your guests for something that's unique. Quick story, we had a concert back in November this year, and this is our second season doing these house concerts. So we had a concert, and you know, we think we're doing a really good job getting the word out, but we actually had guests that had booked with us to stay for that weekend, and they did not even know that we were having the concert. So that, you know, we made sure they knew about it once they checked in, and they participated in the event, had such a fantastic time, even though they just sort of stumbled into it, that not only have they booked with us for this concert that's coming up next week, but they booked for the March show as well. So they've booked twice for those weekends where they may not have, you know, been in even thinking about coming to Cape May in February or March. So it's had some direct effects as well as some indirect ones.
That's great. Steve, is there, if we switch and talk about, because we're talking about bookings here and a lot of your technology and kind of content marketing efforts, if you will, seem to be really working so strongly that you all don't deal with OTAs. It's all direct bookings. Do you mind sharing your insights on your strategy when it comes to that?
Yeah, so we made the conscious decision, and the owners before us had not gone down this path either. So it was easier for us to decide to kind of not dip our toe into that, the OTA world. We've really, because of the loyal following and the repeat business that we have and the word of mouth and the social media, it has enabled us to only deal direct. So we are 100% direct booking, and we're very proud of that. You know, there's certainly nothing wrong with the OTAs and using them to fill rooms, but there's certainly downsides to doing that as well. And if we can avoid it, we certainly will continue to do that. We really rely not only on our social media that we're proactively promoting, but we also use TripAdvisor as well as Google reviews as a way to kind of make sure that we're covering our bases and making as many touch points or possible touch points online as we can. TripAdvisor, some people consider that to be a type of OTA, but we don't do any bookings on that. We only use it for our profile and for guest reviews. You actually can't book a Mission Inn room on TripAdvisor. And there's downsides to that as well. We do get some confusion and people asking us, you know, how come we don't have any rooms available? But we'll take that because we can handle those for the most part. We'll take that over giving away a percentage of every room that we book. So I guess to answer your question, it's less of a strategy and more of just kind of digging our heels in and doing everything that we can to avoid going down that path right now.
Great. Steve, I'm sure you have some thoughts and questions on this one.
Well, I think that most innkeepers that we've spoken with so far anyway, I mean, obviously the ideal thing is that you get direct bookings and you don't have to pay a cut to the OTAs. I think it's the ones that use the OTAs do so kind of begrudgingly. They acknowledge the need for it, at least for their and their bed and breakfast, but they're not usually too happy about it. So, I mean, it makes sense to me that from Wendy, what you've described that, hey, it seems logical that you don't need OTAs as long as you are staying in touch and you're working on keeping the relationships with the guests that have stayed, as well as branching out through their own, you know, networking of people in different ways. That's how you get your recognition. That's how people learn about you. And as long as you're doing that, to me, that's kind of the lesson to be learned possibly by other innkeepers, that it's not going to happen overnight, but it seems like you could probably wean yourself from the OTAs if you take similar steps to build this kind of community and this following, basically.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. It's not going to happen overnight. Even like we said earlier, we're still creeping up on our Instagram followers. We're still, you know, under 1,000, but I will say that we're very lucky that 1,000 is very engaged and active in our posts And so that sort of spreads very virally. We're also using the social media tools to try to continue to not only grow our base, but to spread the word. For example, we're doing a contest for Valentine's Day called Share the Love. We're actually posting on a contest on both Instagram and Facebook. Everybody that you share that to, that post with, is going to be entered in to win a free two-night stay with us. So we're trying to really encourage that. Besides just posting pretty pictures of the inn and pictures of what's going on around town, we're trying to incentivize. We'd rather do that and give away a two-night stay to somebody that really wants to come, go through an OTA and get somebody that's looking for the, you know, the least expensive room that they can possibly get. So anyway, it's just a different strategy, but it's not necessarily a top-down strategy. We're sort of making it up as we go, but really looking at best practices and seeing what works for other industries as well as for the hospitality industry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What about, you talked about the musical event thing, and also I think it's a great observation to say, well, as an innkeeper, find out what kind of your passion is and do something similar. It could be any sort of event that you bring into the inn or the B&B. Talk about, so you're creating, I mean, there's the guest, this term guest experience. You're creating an experience within the inn when you do that. Talk about actual guests and the guest experience. First off, maybe what guest experience, how you would define it or what it means to you, and then some of the other things you do more on the high touch side of things to help the guests have a great time, a great stay. So two part
sure.
question, maybe start with what the idea of guest experience means to you.
Sure. I think, you know, guest experience to me as a traveler prior to being a bed and breakfast owner, I think I've taken my own experience as a traveler and tried to keep that in mind every morning, every day. And what that means is not only making sure that everybody has a good time, but also knows how to maximize their stay. And that is really a big part of what we view our role is not just making sure that everybody's, you know, happy, but that people know how to really enjoy their time during their visit. And that may mean different things to different people. And we're very cognizant of not suggesting the same restaurant to every guest that walks in the door. People are here with different tastes and coming for different reasons. And we really try to customize or personalize or curate that experience for every guest that walks through the door. And that's, you know, that can be very time consuming. And again, we try to use technology for some of that. Every morning at breakfast, for example, I guess this is a combination of technology and very low tech. We currently hand out a piece of paper every morning at breakfast with a list of everything that's going on around town that day so that people can just, in a snapshot view, understand that, wow, I can go do a wine tasting at 2 o'clock, or I can go do a trolley tour at 11 or 4 p.m., or I can go downtown and see a play. So we try to do a really consolidated cheat sheet for our guests. And I guess the high tech part of that is that I'm doing that every morning and I'm scouring various websites because, like a lot of places, there's no centralized list of what's going on. So I'm scouring Facebook and I'm looking on different websites of tour companies and the art center and trying to compile that really good curated cheat sheet for our guests every day. So that's the high tech part, is using technology. I don't have to call these places, I can at least find the information online. The low-tech part is right now we're printing that on a piece of paper every day, and that's, again, one of the reasons that we're looking at the Frictionless app to see how that might be able to help boost that up a little bit in terms of technology. But at the same time, people do like the piece of paper. They just fold it up, put it in their pocket, and they're off on their way to make the most of their day. So that the guest experience, really, like I said, we define that as maximizing your time and making sure that we connect you up with what is a good fit for you individually.
Well, that's interesting because you look at it, and I think maybe having come into this within the last couple of years, maybe you've got still maintain that perspective, which I think is healthy, of that of the guest as opposed to just the innkeeper. And so rather than kind of having an ego-like view that, okay, it's all about the property. When I asked you about guest experience, your answer really had nothing to do with the guest stay, you know, like at your property per se. You're talking about the way they spend their time during the entire stay, which in reality is probably, other than sleeping, it's probably not heavily spent at the inn. It's all about what they're doing outside of it. And you're saying that you try to play a big part of that.
Exactly. We know that if ultimately they have a fantastic experience during their stay, it's going to be 80% due to what happens outside of these walls. Between sleeping here and having an amazing breakfast every morning, that's a very small percentage of their time. And we take that as our mantra, I guess, to make sure that, you know, as ambassadors of not only the Mission Inn, but of Cape May, that we make sure that everybody really has the best possible time, whether that's, you know, they're here to do some shopping downtown or take advantage of the wineries or the tours. It really is a customized experience, and we're sort of super uber concierges in that regard. And that's where we really focus to make sure that everybody walks away feeling good. And ultimately, that connects back to feeling good about the Mission Inn. And that's something that, you know, we're hoping for.
Excellent. It's right on with kind of our perspective of how we see guest experience, but I'm curious to know how you define it. And that's pretty much right in line with what we see as well. So great.
And I think that the whole, as I'll just bring it back to what I said at the beginning about social media and the demographics, you know, we've been pleasantly surprised with an influx of not necessarily millennials, but definitely people in their 40s and 50s that are exploring bed and breakfast for the first time. And really, they are coming to it because of that experiential offering and wanting to not have a cold experience of a hotel where, you know, you're a number, a room number, and not a person, and not able to get that sort of curated feedback, you know, from the front desk, if you will. And you're even seeing hotels go in that direction now with their boutique offerings and their customized experiences. So I think they get it as well. And, you know, B&Bs can kind of be at the forefront of that and kind of translate their local knowledge into that type of service for their guests.
Yeah, we certainly feel that way. Yep, makes sense. Excellent. Great.
Awesome. Steve, any other additional questions? I know we've covered off on quite a lot of topics today.
No, I think most of what we covered, I mean, we could go on, but I think it's great. It'd be some good depth and breadth of conversation. So really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Wendy, this is our cue for our last question. Anything else to add today before we sign off? Anything we may have missed?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we're doing lots of other neat things that don't necessarily fit into the technology realm. And I think that is maybe an important point, too, is, you know, technology is a piece of the puzzle. You know, for example, we've been really focused on some going green initiatives, which has been a nice win-win for us and for our guests to kind of have those experiences where we're, you know, able to say we're doing good things for the environment and say, and that's something that's important to us personally. So going back to finding your passions and finding what you're really interested in, whether it's music events or going green initiatives, and somehow find a way to weave technology through those. Don't let technology be the end game. It's really a tool in your toolkit that can help you maximize any of the initiatives that you want to have be a part of your inn or your bed and breakfast experience. So that would be my closing thought.
That's perfect. What a great way to end this interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Frictionless Innkeeper podcast interview with Wendy Collins, who is the innkeeper with the Mission Inn based in Cape May, New Jersey. And as you all heard, Wendy was kind enough to share her innkeeper story, her perspective on technology, her high-tech, high-touch approach to pleasing guests, her musical experiences, and a whole bunch of other awesome stuff that she has going on at the property. And we really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app. If you wish to learn more, please visit frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com. And Wendy and Steve, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, and happy almost spring.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you, Wendy. We really appreciate it.